Okay. We'll go ahead and get started from tonight. We were dealing with some things on last week in reference to the gifts and how everyone has a specific gift. So we just start somewhere to launch from. We'll just start in Ephesians chapter 4 again, and then we'll move to the Matthew chapter 25. We'll just kind of look at some things. We may also look again in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll pray. Did I pray? I didn't pray this. Father Yahweh, we glorify you and we just bless your name and we thank you for the opportunity just to get into your presence. We just seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. We just bless you for it in advance. And we glorify you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start again. I guess we'll start at verse 11, I guess. We'll start at verse 8. Yeah, we'll start at verse 8. Okay. All right. Ephesians 4, verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." What we want to concentrate on tonight, again, is when he gave gifts unto men. And so we'll look at these gifts and we'll move around and look at some other gifts also, because it's just not limited to these gifts. And people think that because, that they become a part of the body and the only use that they feel like they have is being, just being a sheep, so to speak. I come to church, I'm just one of the sheep, I'm just one of the members and things like that. No, each one of us has gifts. And we're, as we talked about on last week, that we're all accountable for the gift that Yah has given us to use it for his glory. Everything that he's put in us has been to benefit him, and so that's always our priority. Now, there's nothing wrong with, I'm going to say this loosely, there's nothing wrong with using our gifts for other purposes, but the primary focal point is to use our gift for Yah's glory. And I'll give you an example. The gift that I have is to, when it comes down to the scriptures and the understanding of the scriptures, that's what I've been born to do. I've been born to unseal the scriptures, to interpret the scriptures. There'll be a lot of things that we'll be covering these next few weeks where we look at some things in scripture. Oh, keep in mind Matthew 25, because I'm going to let you teach it when we get to that part. That's why I was just making sure you was coming, and no traffic problems down there and stuff. So when I get to Matthew 25, I'm going to turn it over to you. Now, as far as, the gifts are concerned, again, I've been born to teach the scriptures. I was born to unseal the scriptures, to give an understanding of the scriptures. Well, that gift I also use for other things. That gift that I have to unseal the scriptures also makes me analytical. And when I look at some, I analyze it, I'm looking at it in detail. Well, that gift has caused me to be analytical, which also makes me a strong grant writer, because I write grants also. But that's not my primary focus. So what I meant by the gift that Yah has given me, the primary focal point is to unseal the scriptures. Well, it has given me also the ability to use that gift in some other areas. And the ultimate goal is that brings glory to Yah too. But writing grants is not my primary focus, or it's not what I was born to do. is part of what I do based upon the gift that Yah has given me. So y'all understand that when I say that, that your primary focal point for whatever gift that all of us have is for Yah's glory. That's the primary focal point. Now again, you may do some other things with your gift. Like myself, I write grants, I do other things, I do other type of paperwork. Well, all that comes from this gift that Yah has given me. So what I'm saying in verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. We're going to look at other areas of gifts, because, again, most people think that these gifts just only are pertaining to the preachers and things like that. Thus, when we get to verse 11 now, then he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Well, you may have someone sit here and say, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. So what gifts did he give me? Well, when we jump over into 1 Corinthians 12 now, we'll see that there are other gifts now. For some reason, this thing is not giving me another Bible. Why? I don't know. Okay, let me see what's going on here. I'm going to close this out and I'm going to open it back up again because I don't know what it's doing here. It's not giving me my two Bibles. Well, it gave me everything then. So we'll look at 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 12, I believe. Now, we see the same perspective because when people look at Ephesians 4 to the right of the screen, verse 11, they say, well, especially from verse 8, they say he gave gifts unto men. And you look at verse 11, it's explaining what these gifts are, and it's five of them, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, as you see here, it says now, to the left of the screen, now concerning spiritual, which are gifts. It's italicized, so it's just that now concerning spiritual, meaning that there are spiritual gifts are the spiritual things that Yah also gives too. These are our gifts, but at the same time it points out that these are also gifts. And we'll see it as it goes on. See, so when you see something italicized, again, you can take it out. But as we look at verse 4, it's saying gifts. So that's why they put it here in verse 1 to show that it's italicized because you're reading it down here, so they don't want you just to say it now concerning spiritual. They want you to know that this subject matter is gifts, okay, and operations and things like that. So when we see these gifts, and so it is correct in verse 1 when you say, because it's not just including gifts. So that's why it should not have been there, because it's not just focusing on gifts. So it says now concerning spiritual, because gifts are spiritual, administrations are spiritual, operations are spiritual. So gifts should not be here. That's just one of the spirituals. Okay? So it says now concerning spiritual, meaning that all of us who are called to do specific things, it is spiritual. It's given by the spiritual or by the breath of Yah. Okay? Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, because he's talking to Gentiles here, Paul is, carried away unto these dumb owls, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of Yah, calleth Yehoshua accursed, and that no man can say that Yehoshua is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Whenever you find someone that doesn't believe that Yehoshua is the Son of Yah, then that individual is not led by the Spirit of Yah according to the Scriptures, okay? Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts. So when you look at diversities of gifts, it just lets us know from verse 4, it is different, distinction, variety. So as we see in Ephesians 4, these are varieties in verse 11. Varieties, but it's just not limited to these five. So that means there's work for all of us to do. And we're going to look at these varieties to give us to understand that Yah has given all of us something that may have something to do with operating or working in the ministry in one fashion or another, okay? He said, now, there are diversities of gifts. When you look at the word gifts, it means charisma, spiritual endowment, divine gratuity, okay? Also says deliverance. It also says passion. He has given us diversities of passions. Some of us are passionate about things than others. If you always complain about men, men don't know why they won't clean the carpet. I'm just using that for an example. We're not going to have carpet in the building, either we have carpet in here, but I'm just saying from a perspective of understanding. You know, man, why the carpet is always dirty? Maybe you're paying attention to that because that is your gratuity. That is your endowment. That is the gift where you operate in. That's where your passion is. So since that's where your passion is, instead of complaining about it, you may be the one that needs to be doing it. Okay? So there are diversities of gifts are charisma. Charismatic, charisma. Okay? But the same spirit, the same pneuma, in other words, it is the same breath of Yah that deals with the mental state. As you look at the bottom, it says mind. Okay? The mental disposition in the middle of that definition. Okay? So there are diversities of charisma, but the same spirit of Yah, the same Yah spirit who's dealing with our mind concerning these different gifts. We just have to all know what we are, where our lane is. Then it's saying there are differences of administration. You may not be a pastor, but you may be in an administration. When you look at gifts, again, that is charisma. When you look at administration, that means attendance, official service, technical, okay, relief, servicing. So when we look at these administrations, that's a whole lot of different categories that a person can operate in and be gifted by Yah to do it. Okay, to have the charisma, to by Yah to do these different things here. So you know, just because a person is not called to be to teach the scriptures doesn't mean that we're not called to do something. Notice it says administration. It also says aid. Okay, if people are gifted, and that's why we used the example on last week where we said some people are not gifted to do something, and so you don't want an old mean grouchy person being a greeter. You know, as we use that, so yeah, just don't sit over there. I don't care. You know, some people are not gifted. They're not gifted in that portion of the administration. So we don't just put anybody in position just because we want a spot filled. Okay. So there are differences of administration. So all of us have something to do in ministry. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, differences of administration, and diversities, which is the different same thing. Differences and diversities is the same thing. How do we know that? Look at the definition from the Greek. Okay? The aharesis. Okay? And so as we look at differences, has the same meaning as diversity. So it's the same word. Exact same word. Okay? So, and there are differences of operations. When you look at operations, notice what it says here. It says in effect, operation working. There's a lot of work to be done. Okay? Everyone, Yah has gifted to be here, and what we've been called to do in ministry, as far as the kingdom is concerned, there is a lot of work to be done. So there are operations that's available for everyone. If there are things not getting done, it's because people are not gifted to do these things, or they're not stepping forward and doing what they're gifted to do. We're getting ready. We're working on our facility. We're just about finished with the first floor, and so there's a lot of gifts and administration and operations that's going to be need to take place. You know, you're going to have a difficult time being a part of this if all you want to do is just come into the ring. Plenty of work to be done. Okay. Now, verse 7 now said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, Yah has given now. We'll look at these words, but the manifestation, the exhibition, the expression of the Spirit, but the manifestation, the gift that Yah has given each one of us is to profit with all. When you look at the profit with all, it says to bear together, okay, to collect, profitable, to be better for. Yah said, I've given all of you gifts to make this whole thing better. The reason why ministry struggle is because, I'm going to give you two reasons why ministry struggle. Ministry struggle because that ministry either doesn't have a vision so that people can grab it and run with it, or people are not running with the vision that's been given. Those are two of the reasons why ministry doesn't work for the kingdom. You have, and I take that perspective for myself. Here I am calling myself a pastor or an overseer, someone who now you guys have come to listen to, and all I want to do is just teach the word, and we have no purpose for the things that we do. We just want to show up and have Bible study. You get a lot of people that just show up for Bible study or show up for church service, and the primary goal is just to collect money and give you some of the warmed over service, sermons so that you can go home. But it's no purpose whatsoever. What are you doing? I'm going to church. What did you do? I just went to church. What are y'all going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the next church? We just going to church. No. There's purpose. And so Yah said, I give these gifts so that things can be good. Things can take place. Things can bear together. I give you these gifts. They are manifested by the Spirit and given to each one of us to profit. If we're gifted at something, we're just sitting around, that doesn't benefit. That's not good. Your primary gift is for the glory of Yah. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you do. You have that gift for the glory of Yah. And let that be your primary focus, but again, at the same time, I write grants. You may do something else with your gift. But understand that your gift is for the glory of Yah. And so again, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Each one of us has been given a gift by the Spirit to profit for the good. Yah said, I've given something for the good. So guess what? Again, let's use the stain in the carpet. If you're sitting there looking at a stain in the carpet, you're constantly complaining, saying, man, every time I go to church, there's this stain in the carpet. I don't understand why they don't get it up. Well, it's not happening good because you're the gifted one that's called to do it. That's why you look at it every time you come to church. So you're always paying attention to these things. You want to point a thing at somebody else to do it and complain about it when you're the one who have the gift to do it, or I'm the one who have the gift to do it. It is for profit. So we're supposed to take that gift and use it for the good. Okay? Then it starts to give different types of gifts based upon the administrations and things like that. For one, it's given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And I don't want to deal with all of these gifts and things like that and administration. But look at what it says. But all these workers that one and self-same Spirit divided to every man severally as he wills. So that means I can't will to be an usher. Because he is not talking about me or you. I think I want to do this. This is where I fit in. No, again, you gotta be patient, and you have to be courteous. You have to be kind if you're gonna be an usher. You can't be one of those old grouchy person every time. Ma'am, where do you want me to sit? Or sir, do you want me to sit? I don't care. I had a bad day. Just go on down and sit wherever you want to sit. No, y'all didn't will us to act like that as an usher. And I'm just using that for an example. Okay? I'm saying that's what takes place, and I just want to use for an example. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. Okay? Read verse 12 again. For as the body is one, we function as one, and has many members. So as the physical body functions as one, we have in our physical body many members. We have fingers, we have toes, we have eyes, we have ears. Each one of those things that I just mentioned are gifted to do something. Our hands are gifted to do something. Our eyes are gifted to do something. Our ears are gifted to do something. Our toes are gifted to do something. All of them function for the good of the physical body. Now, take one away. We got the body struggle. Take the eye away, the body struggles. Take the ears away, the body struggles. Take the hands, the fingers away, the body struggles. Take the toes away, the body struggles. So all of us, from that perspective, when we think it from a kingdom perspective, have gifts that Yah said, when we all function for the good, it makes the body function correctly. So he starts out in verse 12, giving us a physical body to give us an understanding of the spiritual matter. For as the body is one, each one of your physical body is one, none of us want to trade in anything. I don't want to lose my toe. I don't want to lose one of my eyes. I don't want to lose one of my hearing. I don't want to lose anything because that helps me function to the highest degree. So he says, with that understanding, for as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. He says, so also is Christ's body. So also is Christ's body. Christ is the head. And he has a body that is gifted. That body is each one of us that is gifted to make the head look good, Christ. That's how come he used the physical body to give us an understanding of a spiritual matter, okay? Again, verse 12, for as the body is one, it has many members, toes, fingers, eyes, ears, okay? And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. My arm can't sit here and say, I'm not a part of that body. So you, as being gifted, can't say, well, I'm not a part of this. I'm just going to sit here because I'm not a part. I'm just a member here. I don't have to do anything else. I come, I listen, you know, I support it financially. I don't have to do anything. Well, you're hurting the body. You're hurting the head. You're hurting the rest of the body, and you're showing up hurting the head because he gave us the gift as he wills so that we can function in those gifts so that we can be effective as far as the ministry of the kingdom. Okay? Now, with that understanding now, we're going to move to Matthew chapter 25, and the other you can take over from there.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And this goes in the same vein of what right where you were leaving off at, right? So,
which verse you want to use?
Keep 1 Corinthians up, right?
Okay, pull 1 Corinthians back up.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it ties in. Go down to verse
12. Verse 11, okay.
So in verse 11 it says, but all these work one and the same spirit divided into every man severally as he will, right? So that's
let's look at the word will. I didn't do it, so let's look at it since you bring it up. When we look at the word will, every man as he will, it says as he's minded of own, because we definitely know that it's Yah's own will. As he will, so it's him being willing of his own. So again, it's like what I said, we have nothing to do with these gifts. They have been given to us.
I like in 10 as well.
In 10, which one?
One of those definitions was in 10. I could flip all down the eyes in 10.
Okay. I need to find the word in 10. I don't see
it. No, it's will.
Okay.
One of the definitions was in Intend.
At the bottom part.
So basically, you know, those gifts are given to you according to what Yah intend, right? What Yah intends. So it's not like, and I use the example, I know the example you like to use a lot, Pastor, is back when you were young, Yah told you he called you to preach. And Yah told you he called you to preach. And you told Yah, I called you to play pro football, right?
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example of when Yah gave him those gifts, Yah had an intent to go along with the gift that he gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens to us is we can take that gift and try to use it in some other area apart from what Yah intended, which you can get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, we understand that, again, you know, this verse 11 says, basically,
do you want me to put
Spirit applies to every man severally according, as he will.
Okay.
So, that's the underlying thought. Because right now, we start out talking about, you know, all of the...
You want to pull up Ephesians 4?
No, stay where you are.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we can look at this.
Okay.
We started out talking about all these different gifts or whatever. And like what you were saying earlier, it's like people look at that and they think, oh, that's just the pastor, or that's just the leader, or that's just whatever. But that's not the case, right? There is a hierarchy and there is an order. But this, like what he was saying earlier, the Spirit gives to everybody as he will, right? So, yeah, a person may be a pastor, and he maybe has a gift for that because that's what God designed, but everybody has a gift.
Right.
So with that being said, we'll go to Matthew 25.
Okay. You want me to close the other one down?
Yeah, you can close.
Okay.
So Matthew 25, we'll start at verse 14. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man. So the kingdom of heaven is basically saying, a lot of people think about this and they think kingdom of heaven is some future thing, at some point in the future. But the reality is, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, it can manifest right where we are, right? So when you see these stories, it's telling you an order of what the kingdom of heaven is like in a nutshell. So verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15 says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another two, to another one, and to every man according to his several ability. So we see the same terminology here, right? And then it says, and straightway he took his journey. So we see the same terminology in Matthew 25 that we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's the same, and that right there lets you know that this man is not a man, but this is giving you an understanding that in this category, this man is representing Yah in a nutshell. So with that being said, so the servants, in this case, or the servants of Yah. So in this story, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling from a far country. So let's say Yah is a far country. He's in a far country. He traveled from where he is to where we are. We are his servants. He delivered unto them his goods. He delivered unto us his goods. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So all that we have and stuff like that, that's his goods that he delivered unto us. He said he gave unto one 5 talents. Talents is, so talents in this particular instance is a reference to money, but at the same time, for the purpose of this example, we can use it to equate to gifts and abilities. Does that make sense? So everybody doesn't have the same gifts and abilities. Somebody might have 5, somebody might have 2, somebody might have 1. Does that make sense? But he said he gave to everybody according to their own ability. So in a nutshell, if you can't handle 5, he ain't going to give you 5. If you can't handle 2, he ain't going to give you 2.
Thus what I had mentioned, if I'm not gifted to be an usher, I ain't got no business going over there. I want to be an usher. I just like how I happen. You know, I like how I look. You know, I like the uniform. No, go ahead.
And so in that same vein, here's what happens when you cross the kingdom of heaven with the realities of men, and I put it in this manner. Somebody may see somebody walking in a different gift, whatever that may be. Let's say in the example of pastor, pro football, and he sees somebody walking in that lane and says, I want to do that. And a lot of people do that. They may say, oh, well, I see if you do this, you can make a lot of money. And so you'll have a people chasing a lot of things that they ain't even gifted to do. Does that make sense? And that happens a lot in our society. It's like whatever those things are, I ain't gifted to do it, y'all ain't calling it to them, but because they make money, I'm going to chase after that. And so you see, you have people spending a lifetime doing a thing and not accomplishing it, one, because y'all never intended it, but two, it's not what they're gifted to do. So you can spend your life and that never get reconciled because you're chasing after something y'all never intended for you to do. So, again, verse 15 says, and he gave unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So basically means he gave everybody their gift, and then he went off. So with what they were left with, they were supposed to operate in those gifts. Verse 16 says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. So basically, in a nutshell, he took the gifting and ability that he had, and he doubled it. In this particular story, like I said, it's money. And I think the conversion rate is like, this is like, 1 talent is like $200,000, the last time I looked. He took that, and he used his gift, and he doubled it. So he was given $1 million. He doubled it to $2 million. Does that make sense?
In other words, when you look at it from the spiritual perspective,
mm-hmm.
he took the gift and made good. The prophet with all.
Correct.
So good. So he's showing you that there's good happening from this individual operating within his talent.
Right. Correct. All right. So this is verse 16 again. He that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Mm-hmm. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had 2, he also gained other 2.
Mm-hmm.
But he that had 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So basically, unless the Lord went away, and after a long time, he came back. See, okay, what did y'all do with the talents that I gave y'all? Verse 20 says, and he said to the one that had received 5 talents, and he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24 says, and then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou were a hard man, reaping where thou sowest not, where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Basically, it says, I was scared of you. I didn't do nothing with you. So I'm just going to give you back what you gave me. So I just use this in the context of what we're talking about. With that being said, everybody has a gift. Y'all has gifted everybody in some areas. And so when it comes to being a part of the ministry, all of these things you got to understand, Yah himself is evaluating. It ain't that pastor has to evaluate and check on everybody or see what everybody is doing. Yah himself is the one that's being the judge. So if he gave, because the reality is, he may not know the gift that God gave you. I may not know the gift that God gave you. Only y'all know that gift. Only y'all know what you see. I may not know that you see the carpet every time, like what he was saying. You know, I won't know that, but you know every time you see it and you think about it and it's going on, but you don't do nothing with it. Does that make sense? That's something between that person and y'all.
Yeah, now, let me say why you're saying that, and hold your train of thought, because when you said in verse 25, where it says, and I was afraid, how many countless people don't do anything for the glory of Yah because of fear? Man, I want to do it. I'm gifted to do it. I see them staying on the carpet, but I'm just afraid to get up and do something because they may not like how I clean things. Fear causes people to not move in the gift that they've been born to do. I was afraid when y'all said, I call you fearless. I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Fear. But I had to operate at the level by which y'all had called me to do. And that's what happened to a lot of people. A lot of people sit because they're just afraid to get involved. They see things that need to take place, but they just are too afraid to do it.
I think the other fear is the fear of the responsibility.
Matter of fact, when you look at it, it's funny that you said it. When you look at the word fear, it says to frighten, to be alarmed, it says to be in awe, then it says reverence. And so when you look at the word reverence, there is a fear that's associated with that will make, like, just like you said, this is too important for little old me. I don't need that responsibility because this is too important for me, so somebody else got to do it because I don't want to mess it up. Yeah, so that's true.
So I keep reading and then I'll come back. So again, verse 25, and I was afraid, and when he is thy talent in the earth, lo, there that thou hast this time. Basically, in a nutshell, it would be the equivalent of a person having a gift saying, I was scared to do it.
Yeah.
Like what you're saying. And instead of me doing it so my gift can be put on display, I'm just going to go hide in the back. I ain't going to do my gift. I ain't going to do what I'm called to do. I ain't going to do nothing with it. And when I die, I'm giving it back to you, Lord. Here's the gift you gave me. I didn't do nothing with it. But here you go.
I'm coming late, so I ain't got to do nothing. I'm leaving early, so I ain't got to do
nothing.
You said verse 26.
Verse 26 says, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked servant, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I have not straw. So basically, unless he's not even worried about that character assassination.
But
he said, oh, you was a hard man. And you did, you know, these things. So he didn't even argue with that. Okay, if you knew that's how I was, then why did you do what you do? Okay, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and I gather what I had not sprouted. Thou oughtest therefore to have put the money to the exchangers. Then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. So basically, he was saying, you could have at least took that money and put it in the bank, and I could have got some interest off of it. In the nutshell, but you just took that talent and put it in the ground. I didn't even get no interest or nothing. It says, verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29 says,
but let me say, if you don't use it, you will lose it. Y'all will put somebody else.
So what does that word mean?
Slothful. It means like slow to do it.
I'll just put it up here where everybody can see it. Wicked. When you look at wicked, it means hurtful, evil.
Now here's the funny thing about it. So let's even deal with the concept about wicked and slothful service. Like wicked. See, and it goes back to understanding the concept. Remember last time we talked about. A person may view one thing as unrighteous, but we talked about the concept that God tell you to go left and you go right. To y'all, it's unrighteousness, right? So when you look at the context of this story, you think, okay, well, he didn't murder nobody. He didn't commit no crime. He wasn't abusing nobody. He wasn't calling nobody names. All he did was put money in the ground, right? But look at what the master said. Now, wicked and slothful first. To the master, that was wicked. He gave him a talent on purpose to make people. I didn't just give it to you to put it in the ground. I gave it to you for a purpose. And so because you didn't do what I gave it to you with that purpose for, that's considered wickedness to the master.
And even when you look at the definition here, as you start scrolling down to the bottom of the definition, it says the devil. And it also says, I believe, sin somewhere. I think I read it somewhere in that, malice, guilt, sinners. And so y'all say when a person operating wicked, it lets you know the root of it. That's devilish. That's someone who's been influenced by the enemy. So when we don't operate within those gifts, that's the enemy working. When Yah gave me the gift that he did, and I decided that I wanted to go play football with that gift and see it, and to put all my effort in that, Yah said, boy, you operating devilish. You're being a devil now, and I'm going to break you. I'm going to humble you, and that's what he did. And so I just wanted to point it out.
Again, verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou art therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given. And he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So when I first read this scripture when I was young, that didn't register in my mind. Like, how is that fair? To he that already have, you're gonna add more. To he that don't even have, even that he has gonna be taken away. Well, it's in the context of the bane of the storm. So let's deal with it in the context of what we've been talking about on last week and this week. So Yah is saying, I gave every man a talent and ability, a gift, according to how I will, because I had a purpose and an intent for that individual, for my own greater good. Now, for those that choose not to walk in that gift, Yah is basically saying that's a waste. So when we look at this, and when we look at this particular scripture, where it says, verse 29, for everyone that hath shall be given. Basically, in a nutshell, it means this: anybody that has a talent and they're doing what they're supposed to with that talent, then more is going to be added unto them. If they're doing what I gave them the will to do, or what it was my will for them to do with that talent, and they do right by that, then I'm going to add more to them. Does that make sense? But to hear that.
Hold on before you move that verse, because I want to jump right on that with you.
Okay.
And so I'm going to reword it from a perspective that make it as simple as possible. To everyone who produces from what Yah has given us, Yah said, I give you more to produce. In other words, if I give you a talent, and if you are productive with that talent, he said, I'll give you more things to be productive with that talent. But the talent I gave you, if you're not productive, again, the carpet, yeah, I gave you that carpet stain to look at to be productive, and to cause that to use your gift as a productive point of view to get that stain out. And if you do what you see and are gifted to do, then I'll give you more responsibility. I'll give you more opportunities to be productive with the gift that I've given you. But if not, don't finish that.
Okay. Again, he shall have abundance. So even to piggyback off of that, not only is he He that has shall be given. He shall have abundance. Because if you think about it from the perspective of Yah, even when we go to the other scripture, and I didn't pull this in, but it's coming to me. It says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, from Yah's perspective, there's plenty of work to be done, but few people that are willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he finds somebody who is willing to work with the talent that Yah has given them for the purposes of Yah, then he gonna add to that person. Does that make sense? Why would Yah waste his resources that's being beneficial to his kingdom? But by the same token, finish the rest of that scripture, but to him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath, right? So the opposite mindset is this. I don't want to use my talents and abilities for the kingdom of Yah. I want to use my talents and abilities for my own benefit. And when you take that mindset, because even when you look at the context of the man that put the talent in the ground, he put the talent in the ground for fear of what the master would do if he lost the talent. Does that make sense? You know, I don't know what he might do if I lose this talent, so I ain't gonna even try. I'm just gonna stick it in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same way. I'm more concerned about my own self than to do what he's called me to do. And so when you take on that vein, then it's like what it said earlier on, you're a wicked and slothful servant, and that you have will be taken away. So, yes, Yah is gracious and Yah is patient, but if you're not willing to use your gift for what he called you to do, then that gift that you have is going to be taken. Does that make sense?
Because, again, the primary focus, every gift that each one of us have is for, remember, the Lord gave it to us, just like this Lord gave them the talent or the money. The Yah has given us that gift, and he said, I want you to produce with that gift. Be productive with that gift for what I want. I want some gain. And I gave you a gift so that I could get gain. And if you don't produce with that gift that I've given you to get gain for me, because everything about us is for his glory.
Right.
So he said, well, I want you to get gain with that gift. If you have a gift and you're not giving gain, then Yah said, okay, you're wicked. You're twisted. Okay, you're twisted, and because now you're not using that, then he said, I'm gonna give it to somebody else. Let me give that responsibility to somebody else. To get the cause of Yah without repentance, that deals with Israel, and so we can look at that from each one of us in a certain perspective, but Yah's like, if you're not gonna put purpose with it, then I'll let you get on that back row and stay. Then somebody else will come clean that thing. And they'll give your abundance from a perspective of me giving you more responsibility for my glory. That abundance means, oh, I'll get more cookies and donuts and candy now. That ain't abundance he's talking about. He's talking about abundant responsibility as far as his glory and kingdom is concerned. You had something. I hope I didn't take it away from you.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is from this perspective, and it was in the same vein of what you were saying. It's almost like this. When we choose not to use that gifting for his glory and his kingdom, then that ultimately means we're using it for another kingdom.
Right.
Because if we ain't using it for his, we ain't using it for Yah, we're using it for the end. Does that make sense?
For wickedness and selfishness.
And so with that being said, what is it probably Yah to allow you, who are associating yourself with the kingdom, to walk in the vein of your gift according to wickedness? It's better, more beneficial for me to take that and give that to somebody else. Does that make sense? So in that vein, it's like there's that whole hierarchy, right? So starting from the top, y'all put in all these gifts and abilities, but it works its way all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that, you know, when it talks about the administration and all those things, that's to cover a whole multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't name all the gifts that he had. You might have a gift to paint. Well, the scripture can't go to that level of detail. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it covers it under an umbrella. So your gift from a perspective of kingdom may be pain. I don't know.
Right.
That makes sense? But it's covered, right? If the pain that Yah wants you to do is going to bring glory to his kingdom, that's the thing he wants you to operate in. And if you take that and say, well, I got to get the pain, now I'm going to use it for my glory.
Right.
But that's when you get in trouble.
Right. Now, when you look at each one of those gifts, as Elder mentioned, when you look at each one of those gifts, all of us are held accountable for that gift. I'm held accountable as a pastor. And I'm going to show you what happens to me if I don't do that according to the plan that Yah had. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 23, it says, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," saith Yah. And this is talking about Israel, but I'm giving you an example to see what happens to the shepherds even. "Therefore, thus said Yah God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing," wicked, "the evil of your doing, saith Yah, "and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Look what he said. "And I will set up shepherds over them." Same thing. I'll take what you have and give it to somebody else that is going to be productive. Okay? "I will set up," verse 4, "shepherds over you," which are pastors. "I will set up shepherds over you, over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking," saith Yah. So it's the same concept throughout the scriptures, in the old as well as the new. Yah said every gift is supposed to be used for my glory, exactly the way I call it to do. If it doesn't, I replace it. We see the same thing in the Old Testament, even as far as pastors are concerned. So we're in these last days, pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, and prophets, all of these type of people who maybe have been gifted by Yah, if they don't fall in line with the will of Yah and be productive, Yah's going to replace them with people who have a heart to serve it.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking about everything y'all was saying, and I agree with all of that. And I just want to say this about my life. When I was younger, and the point I'm making is, as parents, we can speak some of these things into our children's lives. So my dad told me that I could do anything I put my mind to. And because he said that, I believed it. And as I grew up and matured, that's what I did. Whatever I saw I wanted to do, I did that. And the only reason I know I can't do anything, and that's even now, is if I tried and I can't do it, then I can say, I can't do that thing right there. But other than that, he gave me that confidence that I could do anything I put my mind to. And one caveat is provide some things provided I got the training for. I always said I could fly an airplane if I wanted to. If that's something I wanted to do with the training, I could do that. But it's for me, it was all tied to him saying that to me. And so for that reason, y'all don't know me by now. I know I'm going to cry, right?
We're just waiting on it. We're waiting on it.
So he spoke that to me, and sometimes when I try to do something, if it didn't turn out right, it's like, wait a minute, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do whatever I attempt to do. But as I went forth in life and I attempted things and I tried things and I was successful, the Lord just continued to give me more gifts and talents. It ain't because nothing magic about me. It's because that was his choice to put all of those things in me, and as I, moved forward to do, he just opened up more and more. And so that's the story of my life, and I've never felt overwhelmed by it. I never felt like the burden of responsibility was too much. I just felt like I'm in my element, and I'm doing what I do, which is, again, Pastor, the conversation that we had, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to finally, all of these gifts, talents, and abilities, I can see how they all can be used for ministry right here. But it goes back to what my dad said to me. You can do anything you put your mind to. And I believe that was inspired by God. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Even when you look at, and so I'm going to give my testimony also as an encouragement, my closest encouragement to all of us, to show what I have been gifted to do. It started when I was a kid, and my I call my baby sister, but she's next to the baby because I got a baby sister on her. But still, when you look at my my little sister here, she can tell you that I always led. It was my gift. I used to sit them down, all my cousins, I used to sit them all down and preach to them. I was imitating my pastor, that's all I knew at the time, so I was whooping and everything. But I would sit everybody down and preach to them. Matter of fact, I even killed a bug. We had a funeral service. I buried the bug and made everybody go through the ceremony. I was going through all those things, and y'all was training. And I was young. I mean, real young. And I used to make everybody sit and listen to me preach. Well, move from there to being a captain. I was always a captain, football, basketball, track, whatever we were dealing with. I was always pulled out of the crowd to lead. I would get in the back of the line, always pull right back to the front. Well, Lauren's going to be the captain. And so all these years, y'all was like, okay, you're faithful in these little things. I can bless you to be ruler over many things. So he kept giving more and more responsibility. When I got in ministry, as I became faithful in areas, I was moved to youth pastor. And well, as I'm sitting there as a youth pastor, y'all speak to me one day and say, I call you to pastor. Not just the youth, but I call you to be one. Well, once I start walking in there, he elevated it to something else. I call you to establish all types of ministry for my glory, because kingdom is just not sitting there reading your Bible and coming to church and giving you money and going home. We had a good Bible lesson. We deal with all kinds of issues. Health, we deal with everything, because all that's kingdom. But y'all say, I had to start you somewhere, boy. Standing in front of everybody, preaching, preaching. Mom used to send me down to the church to turn all the sound equipment on before pastor them all got there. And I had to be really small because I couldn't see over the podium. And I used to turn all the mics and all that on. Mom used to give me the key because she knew what I was going to do. She'd give me the key, go out there and turn all the lights and stuff on for when everybody get down there. Well, I stay down there the whole time because I'm in there preaching. I'll be in there by myself. I turn on the mic, and I'll be behind the podium, and I will pull the mic down, and I'll be preaching. And one time I was doing it, and I looked around the corner, and the church had filled up, and I didn't even know it. I was just back behind that podium just preaching. And everybody was like, boy, that was good. I was so embarrassed. But it let you know how small I was to the point where I couldn't even see over the podium. I didn't even know people were coming in. And she used to always do that. And that gift was just following and developing and getting better and better. And y'all was saying, as you accept responsibility, I give you more. I give you abundance. You accept what's given, I give you abundance. And so people may look at us now and say, man, they just came from nowhere. No, we didn't. We started over in the corner being faithful with one little thing, doing this little thing. We just kept staying faithful, and here we are now. And so each one of you from that same perspective, these two testimonies, have that same testimony concerning something that God has always had in your heart to do, and he's saying it's not going to be effective until you do it, until you put legs to it.
Okay. Lon?
Yes.
Hey, this is Melissa. I was just going to add to that. I think sometimes, too, when God calls us to do something, he gives us a specific gift, and we don't use it, especially if we know we have it. It causes negative effects on us, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, because I myself have been there. I've been able to sing. I've been singing in church since I was 4 or 5 years old, and there was a period in my life where I quit singing just completely. In church, in the shower, whatever, you know, I didn't sing at all. And it had very negative effects on me until I got back into it and doing that and doing what God had called me to do. And then it made a big difference. So.
I mean, yeah, Melissa likes to sing. And so she said basically, in a nutshell, she had gotten away from it. And because she had gotten away from it, it caused negative things to happen. Until she started, you know, submitting back to what y'all had given her as a gift to do. And so everything that our destiny is wrapped around that gift. That gift is wrapped around our destiny. Because once we operate within that gift, then destiny will start to materialize. Destiny is out there. But it doesn't happen until we operate in that gift. Okay? And so as we do it, we'll see those things take place. Go ahead.
One more thing, please.
Okay.
I also found over the course of time that the more you walk in that gift, sometimes the more enemies you make, because people don't like it when you're doing what God has blessed you to do. Then jealousy comes up, and all other things come up in these other people that comes against you. But we can't stop doing what God has put in us because of what anybody does. We have to just set our face as a flint and keep marching on.
Yep, and I give you an example of that using myself. Sometimes, you know, people will see the gift in me, and they'll say, oh, he's better than everybody else. I'll be like, yep, that's the gift talking. You know, and when they said that, I said, you know, don't blame me for what you feeling. You know, if you saying I think I'm better than everybody else, it's because that's what you think about me, because you see that gift is that awesome, you know.
Use another scripture just to help us understand it. You go to Exodus 31.
Do you want me to keep Matthew 25 up?
I think I'm going to keep it.
Okay. Exodus 21.
31.
31. I ain't looking. Exodus.
Just to show that these gifts can go in all kinds of areas for the purpose of Yah.
Amen.
Exodus 31, verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, and just give context. So this is in reference to when the children of Israel were building the tabernacle, where God would dwell, basically, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by my name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work with gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting stone to set to them, in the carving of timber, and to the work of all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan, and in all hearts, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So when you see these, you see it's Yahweh inspired the gift. So one man, he gave him the ability and the wisdom and all these things to do workmanship with gold and silver and all those things. And so when you look at it from the context of how people view spiritual gifts these days or gifts from Yah, you don't consider those kinds of things a gift. That's a gift from Yah. But it boils down to purpose. Yah knew that his tabernacle needs to be built. And so as a result, he gave a man the wisdom and the talent, the ability and the skill set to carry out that plan. Does that make sense? And so we can't just look at it, if I ain't prophesying, then Yah ain't gave me a gift. Well, Yah's gifts go in all kinds of areas because he knows all the things that need to be done. So your gift may never be preaching. He may give you a gift of finances. I don't know.
Right.
Because those finances that he's giving you the gift of is for a purpose of his kingdom.
Right.
Now, when you take that gift and you say, well, I'm just going to use these finances for me, then you get in trouble because he gave you that gift for the benefit of the kingdom.
Right. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So in all those lanes, understand that your gift ain't got to be something that's specifically named here, like I was saying earlier. It could be anything. It could be a skill that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It could be you talking. It could be, because some people don't have the gift to talk to people. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know what your gift is, and you got to walk in that lane according to what God's giving you.
Yeah, you know, gift, not the gift to talk and answer phones, for example. You know, and they call in and say, okay, is this the real Center? Yes, I are. You know, you're not getting this at all. Now, to say, because when you went to Exodus 31, Yah unsealed some stuff, because as you see in Exodus 31, it said, I have filled him with the Spirit of Yah in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. If you notice, 1 Corinthians 12, when we were talking about these gifts, diversities of gifts,
mm-hmm.
differences of ministrations, diversities of operations, if you notice, he said, verse 8, for one is given the spirit of wisdom and another word of knowledge by the same spirit of another faith. When you look at all these gifts, you're seeing the wisdom, the faith, the knowledge, the understanding to carry out all of these things. And so we sit there, back to the carpet again, so we sit there and say, man, somebody needs to deal with that carpet. Well, nobody may have the wisdom on how to deal with it or the understanding or the knowledge. I may not even see that thing. But Yah has given you the gift and the wisdom and the understanding to not only see it but to deal with it. And so that's why I wanted to point out that when the Spirit of Yah gives us these gifts, he gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the know-how to do it. Mama Coach will tell you, when it comes down to some things we've been dealing with, I'll be like, look here, okay, this is what's going on here. Now the rest of it is up to y'all, and I just go off, you know, when they'll start talking about certain details, they'll tell you, I'll walk off and go on somewhere, because that ain't my gift. That is like staying on the carpet, and I ain't gifted to do it. I'm over here looking at the trees, the birds up in the trees during that time, because that's not my expertise, and I could care less. You know, I was asked today, well, how do you want the sanctuary socket to be? I was like, I could care less. All I want is my mic to work. All I care, because my gift is speaking through that mic. Was that a plug in the wall over there? I don't care what plug in the wall, just as long as my mic working. You know, and they started laughing. I was like, I got people that deal with that, that's gifted to know what needs to go where, because that, you know, that's what their expertise is. So we have to make sure that we understand those things. Go ahead, LMP. Do you have anything else on Exodus 31?
So I think the only thing I want to deal with, I'm done with Exodus 31. I mean, it just shows you the vein of understanding that you know, anything could be a talent according to what y'all want.
Right.
But going back to 25, so one of the things I thought was interesting was this, and I'm from the context of how I know things work from the perspective of the kingdom. It's kind of like in this parable that we're talking about, it says the Lord went away and then he came back. To give them a reckoning for these things, right? So when you understand that in the context of, in the greater context of how things work, you know, at Christ's return, there's going to be some reigning and ruling with Christ. And so from that perspective, this is the time frame that the Lord has gone away, and we all have responsibilities that we are meant to carry out. And if we do well with those responsibilities at his return, then it's like what it's saying here after the two servants that did what they were supposed to do. I'll just use verse 23. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Does that make sense? So from that perspective, how we deal with whatever gift Yah has given us will determine what goes on with us in the future beyond the here and the now. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do right with it now, then we have the ability to be rulers over many at a future date. But if we can't even get it right now, then don't expect for that to happen later on, right? This parable shows you what happens in both of those things.
Okay. Listen, I am the milk. All right, we all good? We get it? So in a nutshell, all of us have been gifted. You're not just put here to breathe air and come to the ministry and just sit. Each one of you have a gift that Yah has purpose for you to be a part of this ministry, because it is we're just a member of the kingdom, and he wants to use our gift for the good. All of us had something to bring to the table. So put our gift in action, and there's going to be no lack. The body is going to function and make the head proud, which is Christ. And that's what we have to do. Okay? So with that in mind, everybody, you know what your gifts are. You know where your heart is. And when you think about certain things and you have your passions and stuff about what that is, do it. If you don't have no passion in what you're doing, then get out of the way. Somebody's coming that has that passion. Okay? And so You know, we want to make sure that we're all doing that, okay? All of us need to walk in our lane for the glory of the head, Christ, okay? All right, we good?
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, just one thing. I just want to encourage ones that, may not know what your gift is. It's not all the time a big spotlight thing. It could be a behind-the-scenes thing that nobody may not ever know but you and God. But you have to start somewhere, and when he puts things on your heart, do it, because he's not going to give you more when you're not doing what he already put in your heart to do. So if that means cleaning up the sanctuary, because that's where I started in many places. One church I went to, the small church, and the pastor was cleaning the bathrooms and cleaning the church, and it's like, when I saw that, Pastor, remind me what you said about the carpet. I said, well, he shouldn't have to be doing that. Somebody else ought to be doing that so he can focus on bigger things. So I went to him and I told him I'll do that. And so I did that, and it's just little things like that. Whatever, there's another scripture in the Bible, I believe it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it. So if you see something need to be done, don't wait to be prompted to do it. Just do it. And the more you do for him, the more he'll give you to do, and you'll find yourself being stronger and feeling more confident, knowing that he's leading you to what ultimately that thing is that he's purposed for your life.
I have, based on what you said, I do have one comment. In the vein of finding out what your gift is. So I find out what happens a lot of times with most people, it goes this way. So for a person that's gifted in the area, for them, it comes easy. Does that make sense? In that area, I don't have to give it much thought. Mm-hmm. I can just do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas another person looking at that same ability, in their mind, they're saying, I don't see how they do it. Or they may want to do it, but it doesn't come easy to them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so what can happen to a person if they don't understand or recognize that it is their gift is this. They'll take it for granted. So let's say my gift is to sing. Let's say that's my gift. But I just say, okay, you know, I just do it. It's something I can do, but I don't think about it. But I wish I could be a doctor. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they see so and so being a doctor, because maybe that's their gift, and they see that and they say, okay, I want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But they can sing like nobody's business. Other people look at them and say, I wish I could sing like you, and they look at it as, this is something I do. My spare time, I don't, you know, but I really want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go after being a doctor, you don't have that skill set at all, right?
Okay.
And so you look at the person who's got that skill set saying, you know, oh, I just want to do this. So what I find a lot of times is people striving for something, when they have a gift in their wheelhouse,
mm-hmm.
they just, because it comes so effortless to them, they don't give it much credence. They don't think it's important. They don't think it's beneficial. And so what happens is they don't do anything with that gift. They don't hone it. They don't spend time with it. They take it for granted, and they strive to do something else. So a lot of times if you think about something, those things that come naturally to you, you don't even have to think about it. It's just those ideas just pop in your head. That's probably an area where you get to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having to struggle to do it and strain, and it's taking all this effort, and it's feeling stressful, it may not be your gift.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, that's it.
It does. And I mean, when you say, I started laughing because it reminded me of this guy who claimed to be an apostle,
mm-hmm.
but he was really in the ministry of music. When he played the keyboard, it was awesome to listen to, but he wanted to be an apostle. He wanted that gift, and they had about one or two members the whole time he was trying to be an apostle, and finally he got chain put on the door because they couldn't afford to stay in the building. But if he had used that gift that Yah had given him, I mean, he just prospered, man. But he wanted to be an apostle. He chose his gift.
Right.
And it was not successful. And it was like, you know, like pulling teeth for to see him try to operate in that gift. I was like, man, did you see this? It's not working, bro. It's not working. So,
and a lot of people fight it because they want it that bad.
Right. And he did the same thing. He bought it.
But it ain't
I'm a apostle. I don't care what you say. I'm an apostle. Well, you better get on that keyboard because that's what you are, you know. So, detail. So is that it? Good?
Yeah, so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, whatever you love doing, and when you do it, it ain't stressful. And when you do it, it's easy. And when you do it, other people look at you and be like, man, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, that's your gift. Does that make sense?
Right. Amen. You good? Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless your name for bringing us into another facet of understanding. We thank you for leading and guiding us and revealing to us that all of us have gifts for your glory. And we declare that even though you allow us to do some secondary things with these gifts, the primary thing is that we can cause the body to function good so that the head, which is Christ, can be glorified, which brings all the attention to our Father and God, you the Most High, Yah. We just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray.
Amen. Amen.